Well, good morning, and as Mitch said, my name's Glenn Milne, for anyone who doesn't know me, and it's my privilege to bring the message this morning. So let's just open in a word of prayer. Let's pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and as we read your word today, may your words and message be spoken through me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to stay fit and on track, you usually formulate a plan, and then you might start doing a bit of exercise, watching your diet, and before long you're sort of getting into a routine. You start out enthusiastic at the start, and you're really passionate about it, but then you have to keep the program going and going to improve and keep on track. Well, this morning we're looking at the book at Galatians. In God's Word, which is a letter written by Paul to the church in Colossae, showing the way to stay on track in a Christian life. We're going to look at under three headings. A good start, showing love from Jesus. Keep going, showing the fruit of Jesus. And don't move, remember Christ Jesus. Good start, keep going, don't move. A good start, showing love from Jesus. In the first part of the letter, Paul writes to the church at Colossae. We see how Paul talks about where they're at, and he's thanking God for the church where they are at. He reckons they've actually had a great start to their Christian life. Let's just look at the Colossians 1, 3 to 5. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Paul highlights and thanks God that the church has good basic following of the Christian message. Because of their faith, they have a hope, that the hope is a promise that God has a place for them in heaven. Paul is thanking God for this situation. Then we see that they not only started out well, but they acted on it too. They were showing the love of Jesus as well. Just looking at verse 4. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. Not only did they have a faith, they were putting it into practice, and people could see this. Also, the guy that shared the gospel with them at the start was showing that love, also was telling them, that telling Paul that they were showing the love of Jesus. You've learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The Christians in the church knew they had hope because of Jesus. They could look forward to a time when they would be in heaven. They believed the gospel message that Jesus had done absolutely everything for them, and they had a safe future. And because God loved them so much, enough to secure that place in heaven, the Colossian people show their love in their life as well. Their faith was off to a great start, and they showed the love of Jesus. Well, it's like your healthy program, isn't it? You might start with a few morning walks, you might go for a jog, and then you start cutting back on desserts. You might go from 3 a week to 2 a week. And this is a start. Just in a few weeks, you can start looking and feeling healthier. People are seeing the change in you. You're starting really well. Well, if someone wrote about the Dalby Presbyterian Church, like Paul is writing here about Colossae, would we get that sort of rap? As people who have shown a strong start in their faith, do we show love for God's people? Even if we had some conflict with our Christian brothers and sisters, we still say we love them, and we'd say we're still followers of Jesus. But can people see this love in our lives? Would Epaphras say, I looked at DPC and I tell you what I could see. I could see they love for one another. Well, this sort of love is an action, isn't it? People can see it. It's not just an attitude, it's not an emotion, it's an action. Sometimes we say we love someone, but do we really love them? Or are we just tolerating them? We're not purposely going out to hurt them, but in reality, we just ignore them. We don't think about them. And people may ask the question to us, do we really love them? If people you know, friends or family, had to write down why they thought you loved them, how would they go? Would they be able to write the sort of praise Paul has heard about the church at Colossae? Dear everyone, I'm writing to tell you how much DPC is showing the love of Jesus because they have done such and such, or they're doing this and that. Or would they be only able to say they love me because they told they love me? At times we find it hard to love people, but if we start by knowing that God has loved us enough to give us a place in heaven through Jesus, then we'll be able to love. He'll help us to love as his Holy Spirit lives in us. Well, we're thinking about how to stay on track as a Christian, and the first point is having a great start. The people were showing a love of Jesus. Now we go on to the next part of the passage, which leads to point two. Keep going. Growing in Christian maturity with Jesus. So we see in the first part of the passage, Paul's greeting the church and he's praising them for the way they are loving one another. And the result is the spread of the gospel. Now let's look what Paul says in his prayer in verse 9 to 14. Paul is praying that he wants the followers to keep bearing fruit. He wants them to continue to show a life transformed by Jesus. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. In verse 9, it's got, for this reason, or it's just like saying, therefore. It's almost like Paul saying the first part of Colossians, well done, you're becoming a Christian, you've had a good start, and for this reason, there's somewhere else to head. Starting really well, and because of that, here's how you stay on track. It's not as though you start as a Christian, then stop. In verse 9, Paul says, since you have become Christians, we continue to pray for you. There's something else to come. That's not the end. Once you become a Christian, what's next? Well, in verse 9 and 10, Paul is saying the next step is to ask God to give them wisdom and understanding from the Holy Spirit. This is so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing in every way, a life that will bear fruit in good work. This is the second time Paul talks about bearing fruit. The first time in verse 6, it seems to be referring to the fruit of new believers. But here it's a bit different. Here the fruit seems to be referring to the fruit in the life of a Christian. Bearing fruit in the way we live our life, growing in knowledge of God's will for our life, to keep going bearing fruit. Well, in Galatians, a well-known verse, in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there's no law. So to keep going and bearing fruit in our lives is showing these characters consistently in our lives. When we're at work, when we're with friends, and when we're with non-Christians. So as we mature as Christians, we will not only be changing how we conduct ourselves, but we should want to grow in the knowledge of what God wants for our life, not what we want for ourselves. So this is hard, isn't it? How do we do this? Well, if we look at verse 11 and 12, Paul sort of alludes to what can help us. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Paul says in verse 11 that we do it by being strengthened with all the power from God. And that gives us the endurance and patience. In a world where we're busy and tired, God gives us the endurance to persevere and the patience to handle the stress of life as we face every day. It's God who does everything we need to bear fruit. God works in us. As we follow Jesus and rely on Jesus, his Father will make sure we bear fruit. God will make sure our life starts to be about doing the things he wants. And of course, as we keep going with something like that, as the course they keep going, they have something to look forward to. Because of the start Jesus gave them, the finish will be amazing. Keep going at bearing fruit, because we can be happy knowing one day we can be part of an eternal life with other Christians in heaven. So as the Colossians started by showing the love of Jesus, now Paul is saying they have to continue to bear fruit for Jesus. So it's a bit like staying fit and healthy. Okay, you've started walking 3 times a week and you've cut back on your desserts from 3 to 2. You've made a good start. Then you should keep going. Let's do another extra walk a morning. Cut back another dessert during the week. And that way, you've started and now you keep going and you're improving. And the reason you do this is because a bit of exercise and sensible eating is actually the perfect way to stay on track for your health. There's nothing better than staying focused. In the same way, Paul is saying, the reason you've started well and keep going well is because there's nothing better than focusing on Jesus. Whatever else happens, they stay on track, seeing how amazing Jesus is. Which leads us to the next point, point 3. Don't move, remember Christ. Paul has been praising the people of Colossae on their faith. Then he has given them guidance on how they are to remain strong and true in their Christian walk by focusing on Jesus. Now Paul is really ramming home why they shouldn't move from Jesus. Let's read this chunk from verse 15 to 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his faithfulness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to him all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Isn't that most powerful description of Jesus? It's just, when I read that, I just said, wow, that's just so, so powerful. It would have been great to be in the presence back then, wouldn't it? And actually see Jesus. We would have had a glimpse of what God was like. But here, Paul's letter, he describes Jesus. He gives us a glimpse by his words in the Bible. And why is he so important in our Christian faith? In verse 15, we see the Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. And in bold there, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's pretty amazing. We can take comfort in that where it says, and in him all things hold together. With all the turmoil in our life, the stress of the busyness, Jesus holds us together. Your heart only beats because Jesus holds it together. That breath, each one of them is dependent on Jesus. No one else, nothing else holds it together, just Jesus. Do you get that understanding or feeling why Jesus is so important to be in your life? Paul goes on to say, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is the head of the church, head of God's people, from the beginning, before anyone was born, till the end time. Jesus is the head of all people, so that in everything he is supreme. He is the greatest of all things. And again, Paul points out in verse 19 and 20, for God was pleased to have all his faithfulness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Paul doesn't miss, does he? He doesn't miss emphasising why we need Jesus. Here Paul again tells us, because Jesus shed his blood on the cross, we have peace with God. Paul is so keen that people wouldn't move from Jesus. It's a common theme Paul gives to all the churches. Paul repeats this message to the Philippians. He says, saying, stand firm, to Galatians, stand firm. Because God wanted to have a relationship with us, he came to earth through his son Jesus and died on the cross so we can have a peace with God. God wants us to have a close relationship with him. So if we focus on Jesus, accept that he died for our sins and have a relationship with him through the Holy Spirit, we can share in part of the greatest party, being with Jesus in heaven. No one else can do that. So Paul is writing to the Colossians to say, great start, keep going, don't move. Stay on track in our Christian life. Stay on track in your Christian life by focusing on Jesus. Don't look anywhere else. So in reality, we could start well, but then we can be distracted and lose our way in our Christian walk. Like starting your health program, you might start walking and sensible eating, and then you see an ad on TV for an ab machine. Use this and end up like these fit-looking guys. Or stand on this machine that vibrates and end up like these super fit people. They're distractions, they don't work. Stay with your work at walking or your weight and eating healthily. It's like the Christian life. You can start with Jesus and then get distracted, trying to do everything in our own strength. You might think, if I go to church Sunday, Bible study Wednesday, read my Bible every day, work hard on my job, give money to the church. These aren't bad things. They're good. But are you involving Jesus in these decisions? Does God want you to work long hours so you earn more money? Or you may start well and then just slowly stop. The walking worked for 3 months, then it got a bit cold, and oh, I just hate walking in the cold. And those hot desserts on a winter's night. You might have said, I'm a Christian, but don't listen to Jesus, or talk to Jesus, or show any evidence of bearing fruit, as though Jesus is a ticket to heaven and nothing else. Or we can be focusing on Jesus at each stage of our life, seeking his will and wisdom in our life, looking onto the cross, seeking the guidance of the Spirit and asking God to help us bear fruit. Many have started well. Young men and women in the Edge have a relationship with Jesus. Many have borne fruit. Young people such as interns in our church, or the Year 13 Gap program that's going, Christians stepping up and growing in their Christian life. We look at the Apostle Paul. He was on track right up till his death. And we read in 2 Timothy, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul didn't move. I found this bookmark in a book just this last week, and I just thought it was a great reminder that we should put in our eyes every day. You might not be able to read that, but it says, help me to remember, Lord, that nothing's going to happen today that you and I can't handle together. Let's stay on track in our Christian life by focusing on Jesus and nothing else. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent Jesus to die for us so that we can have a faith. And we have that hope that you have stored a place for us in heaven. And Father, thank you that we have the Holy Spirit to help us to live a life full of the fruits of the Spirit, that we can grow and have Jesus in our life. And Father, we ask for that strength to don't move, that we are firm in our faith, like Paul, till the end. So we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for Jesus, that we can focus on him to help us in our daily lives. Amen.